I want to welcome everybody to the master's class here at Life Change Church, right? Life Change Church. And we are in the book of Proverbs, as we have been since the beginning of the year, and we're going to keep going in the book of Proverbs. We're in chapter 19, verses 11 through 12, but as usual, we're going to be all over the book of Proverbs before we get done. What I have found is that if you pick a topic in the book of Proverbs, it only covers it about 15 times before you get out of it. So I use all the verses all the way through to make that happen. And so let me begin today by asking a question. Now, I don't ever ask a question of you guys at the beginning of class. I'm being facetious because I almost always ask you guys a question to help get started and help get thinking correctly. But how many of you ever have gotten angry and lost your temper, or found it, as the case may be, in your life? Now, let me see your hands if you've ever gotten angry and lost your temper. Now, has everybody? Now, I didn't see anybody not raise their hands. If they are, they're being a hypocrite here this morning, okay? Or they got ice water in their veins, right? All of us get angry from time to time. So our lesson today is about what the Word of God says about dealing with anger. Dealing with anger. And our focus verses from today are from the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verses 11 through 12. And it says, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass." Now, somebody once said that anger is an acid that destroys its container. And indeed it does. Indeed it does. It is a gross form of acid that does harm to anything that it is poured on. Now, I'm talking about ungodly, unjustified anger. Not all anger is bad, and as we're going to see in a moment, that's a true statement. Now, as a matter of fact, some anger is good. And as a matter of fact, we're going to see in a moment that the Bible, in at least one place, commands us to be angry. So we're going to learn about God's answer to unjustified, ungodly anger. And then we'll talk a little bit about justified anger at the very end of the lesson, okay? Now, there are four basic thoughts. We're going to have a four-part lesson today, so I'm still being unorthodox. I've got a four-part lesson with a whole bunch of subparts in this, okay? But there are four basic thoughts that we had this morning, and the first is this, that sudden anger is to be controlled. Sudden anger is to be controlled. That is, if you are a person who prides themselves in having a short fuse, then you'd better be careful because the Bible has a lot to say about you. Now, there are some people who will tell you this about their anger. Well, it's just in my Irish blood. It just runs in the family. Or whatever ancestry it is that they claim to have, they say that just runs in their family, right? They are like a loaded shotgun with a hair trigger. And by the way, there are probably a lot of people who claim Irish ancestry, so they can claim that. And they probably don't have a whole lot of Irish in them. I've got some Scottish ancestry, but it's not Irish. They're like a loaded shotgun with a hair trigger. And any time they get jostled, they blast away. And to excuse that, they say, well, it only lasts a little while, and then it's gone. Well, so does a tornado, but when one comes, they usually spend weeks cleaning up the wreckage after it comes, right? And it's the same way with those bursts of anger. It can take weeks, months, even a lifetime to clean up the wreckage that you have caused to the ones that you love. Now, I want you to see what the Bible has to say about getting angry in a hurry and being quick to be angry. Now, our focus verse says here that a man's discretion defers his anger. That is a wise man who chooses not to fly off the handle in anger. Now, let me give you some other scriptures. And by the way, the book of Proverbs, as I said, just has verses on anger all the way through it. So buckle up, because we're going to look at a lot of passages this morning in Proverbs. And here you're going to be grateful for the fact that I give you a handout with all those verses, because you'd be flipping like crazy trying to keep up with me on the verses here, all right? Proverbs 14:7 says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." Now this says that you are a fool if you are quick to get angry. And you might look at me and say, "Keith, did you just call me a fool?" Nope, I didn't. God did. All right. It says right here in His Word, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." God is calling you a fool if you think you can get angry quickly, right? Proverbs 15:18 says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." All right, so do you want to get in trouble in life? Do you like being the cause of a fight or an argument? And then you just go ahead and be the type of a person who is quick to anger. Now, the word strife is translated from a Hebrew word that means a contest or brawling or contention or discord. Listen, not only do you cause discord and mental or physical harm among your family and friends, if you are quick to anger with a stranger, then you may find somebody bigger, meaner, and tougher than you are, and that person one of these days is going to rearrange your face. That's what God is saying right here in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18. "A wrathful man stirreth up strife." And then God follows that up with Proverbs 25:8. "Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame." Oh, my, 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 my. God says, go forth not hastily to strive. That is, don't jump into an argument quickly, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. That is, are you going to start something that you can't finish, like that fight I was just talking about, and when your neighbor hath put you to shame. Now, when you put your mouth into action before your brain is in gear, then you're going to find out that you're not going to be able to finish what you've started. And that's what God says right here in this verse. Now, when you're quick to get angry, there is so much that you're going to lose. Now, you can lose your job, you can lose your friends, you can lose your children, you can lose your wife, you can lose your health, you may even lose a few teeth, and you can lose your testimony. There is nothing more debilitating to your Christian testimony and the fact that you just fly off the handle at anyone who gets in your way, irritates you, or offends you. If you have that reputation, nobody wants to be like you. Now, the Bible tells us that we are to defer anger. That is, that sudden anger is to be controlled. Well, how do you go about trying to control this sudden anger? Well, first of all, you have to confess it. Now, there are a lot of us who don't like to admit that we get angry. You say, "Well, I'm a Christian, and I don't get mad. I'm not mad at you. I mean, we're just such sweet, dear Christian brothers and sisters, right? We couldn't get angry with one another or with somebody else, could we? Could we?" Yes. Well, why do you think we have church splits? Why do you think we have arguments over what color the chairs are in the sanctuary? You know, there's all kinds of nonsense that goes on. And of course, we can get angry with each other. And so the very first thing we must do is to confess our anger. And by the way, if you repress it rather than confess it, it will do you all kinds of damage. You may say that you're not angry, but your stomach is really the one keeping the score. And as a matter of fact, you'd be surprised what kinds of physiological and psychological and spiritual problems that can take place when you have repressed anger or even expressed anger that is not handled properly. Because what happens is your body responds to that strong emotion of anger, and it begins to pump that adrenaline in your bloodstream. And then your blood pressure rises. And then your muscles get tense and they get ready for either fight or flight or both. And your heartbeat rises and your hands become sweaty and your eyes dilate. And then listen, every time you get needlessly, unjustifiably angry, you just drive another nail into your coffin. So the first thing you need to do when you find these feelings coming is to confess them. Don't repress them. Confess them to the Lord. Bring them to the Lord and say, Lord, there's something moving in me that I don't like. And tell the Lord about it. Someone has said that if you repress anger, it's like lighting a wastebasket and putting it in a closet and closing the door. Now, it may burn itself out, or it may burn the whole house down. It's just burning in there. So the very first thing you need to do is to just open up that closet door and say, there it is, Lord. It's right in there. That's my wastebasket, and I'm the one that set it on fire. You need to tell the Lord that. So the first thing you need to do is to confess it. Then the second thing you need to do in order to get a handle on this sudden anger is after you have confessed it, you need to consider it. You need to say, I'm getting upset. Now, you need to consider and ask, Lord, what is it that is making me so upset? Proverbs 14:29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So you see, when you don't get angry right away, or when you feel this anger coming, you just kind of confess it to the Lord and say, all right, Lord, now show me, and he will show you what it is that you are getting upset with. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. So you need to analyze what it is that is making you angry so you don't go off half-cocked at somebody. You need to confess it, you need to consider it, and then you need to control it. You say, I can't control it, Keith. It just comes over me. Yes, you can. You know, there are people who say, well, you know, it's just something that comes over me and I can't control myself. Yes, you can. You say, Brother Keith, how do you know? Because God will never command us to do something that he is not willing to empower us to do. We can control it, and we'd better learn how to control it. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. I like that first part. It's not even part of our lesson, but a fool uttereth his whole mind. That's kind of like that statement that says it's better to have them think you're a fool than to have you talk and tell them and prove that you are. But anyway, but a wise man keepeth it in until afterwards. So this says that you can keep it in. You can control it. But notice that this is not repressing your anger when you do that, which is just bottling it up and not dealing with it. This says, keepeth it in until when? Afterwards. You keep it in, you keep it in control until you and the Lord can deal with it. You don't leave that acid burning in you. You turn it over to the Lord and let him deal with it. A wise man can control it if he will. Now we're talking about God's way to health, wealth, and wisdom. That's kind of been the overarching theme of all of this in the book of Proverbs. God's way to health, wealth, and wisdom. So what I'm trying to say here is that if you can recognize that first flash of anger, then over and over and over and over again, the Bible says that we are to control sudden anger. And God will not tell us to do something that he will not empower you to do. Now next, not only is sudden anger to be controlled, but sinful anger is to be condemned. So why do we defer anger? Why is it that we are to be slow to anger? So that we might find out whether it is righteous anger or sinful anger. We'll talk about righteous anger here in a little bit, but if it is sinful anger, it is to be condemned. It is to be dealt with harshly, and it is to be repudiated. It is to be repented of. Now, don't treat anger, unjustified anger, sinful anger, as a weakness. It's not a weakness. It's wickedness. One thing that God will not accept for sin is an alibi. And if you say that you just get angry because you have a weakness, that's an alibi. Okay? It's wickedness. Your anger is not uncontrollable, and it is not a weakness that causes you to be angry. Don't lie to God and say that it's just a weakness, I can't control it. So the question is, what is sinful anger? Well, first, sinful anger is anger without a cause. Jesus said this about anger without a cause. Matthew 5:22 says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." So anger without a cause is sinful. And many times the problem is not what somebody has done, but the problem is really within us. It's our own frustration. It's our own lack of peace with God and the sin that is in our own lives. By the way, nobody outwardly can control your emotions. Only you can do that. Anger without a cause is sinful, unjustifiable anger. So next, sinful anger is anger that is centered in a person. It's anger that is centered in a person rather than anger that is centered on an offense. When you get angry, and that anger makes you hate a person rather than hate what that person has done, and we're going to say more about that in a moment, that is sinful anger. Sinful anger is anger that burns and desires revenge. That is sinful anger. Sinful anger is anger that is cherished up, and it's stored in the heart. You know, we're not to stir up anger, and we're not to store up anger. Some people love their anger. It's just their little pet that they keep right there in their heart. I love being angry. I got to be angry about something all the time. I'm a victim all the time. We have victimized our society. I am angry at something all of the time, and it's what makes my life worthwhile, because I am angry at somebody. Now, that is sinful anger, an anger that has an unforgiving spirit that refuses to forgive. Sinful anger is anger without a cause, and it is anger that is centered in a person. Now, we must deal with sinful anger as we would deal with any other sin. It's got to be condemned. It's got to be repented of. And God will not accept an alibi. So, all right, so the first thing is that sudden anger is to be controlled. And the second thing is that sinful anger is to be condemned. And then next, stubborn anger is to be conquered. So let's get back to our focus verse, Proverbs 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So God says that the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. Now that word discretion is translated from a Hebrew word that that means restrains from anger. Now that is the man chooses to defer his anger. God says of that man, that it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So what does it mean to pass over a transgression? It means to forgive and to get over it. But some people don't seem to be able to do that. I know people who have been angry for 15 years over something that has happened. And they hold a grudge and they simply cannot get over what has happened to them. They have what is called stubborn anger, and that stubborn anger is to be conquered. You see, you're not to be conquered by anger. God wants you to be victorious over sin in your life. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." So you are to rule your spirit. You are to be mighty. and God has given you the ability to overcome stubborn anger. Alexander the Great conquered the world, but he wasn't able to conquer himself. God says that it is better to conquer that anger than it is to take a city. Now, how are you going to do it? All right, Keith, you told me I got to do it, but now, Keith, tell me how I'm supposed to go about doing it. How are you going to get rid of this stubborn anger? And we start off in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, we talked about this verse last week when we were talking about communication between in the marriage and with those people that you are close to. But the book of Ephesians has some really amazing verses on anger and how we are to deal with that anger. Now, Paul is talking about stubborn anger here when he's talking about this. And when you let that sun go down upon your anger, that is when you live with your anger, you and your spouse get into an argument, and then rather than kneeling by the bed and getting right with God and getting right with one another, you go to bed back to back angry, and you let that sun go down upon your wrath, and you probably don't sleep a wink all night because you're trying to win an argument, and you've got that argument going on in your mind, all the things that you're going to say and wished you had said, and you probably will never say any of those things, but you might when you wake up the next morning, right? And so do you know what you've done when you do that? You've opened the door to the devil. And what you've done is this. You've said, devil, you come on in and wreck my home. Devil, come on in and destroy my family. Devil, you come on in and you ruin my testimony as a Christian. You've given the devil a place in your heart, and that's what the Bible says here in 4:26, and we add to verse 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your heart, neither give place to the devil. What you have done is you've given the devil a beachhead, a foothold, a toehold, a nest, a foul nest. And believe me when I say that he is ready to come in. And it is that anger, that stubborn anger, that the devil loves to have as a campground to be in your heart. Now let me show you how the devil works when you open up the door. When you let the sun go down upon your wrath, the devil has six steps that he's going to use to destroy you with. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So here are the six steps of anger that escalate one from the next. And they're bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. Those are the six steps, and six is the number of man. Now, let me show you how the devil works to get you, and when you open the door to that old devil, when you let the sun go down upon your wrath, that is, you get what becomes stubborn anger, let me show you what happens. Now, first of all, Paul talks about bitterness here. Well, what is bitterness? Bitterness is that feeling of resentment when somebody does you wrong, or that you think they've done you a wrong, and you get bitter in your heart about that. Now, the Bible calls this a root of bitterness in Hebrews 12:15. For example, have you ever tried to get a dandelion up out of your yard? And you know, you just pull the tops off, but you haven't dealt with that rascal really because that root's still down there in the ground, right? So the devil uses that root of bitterness, and it gets in there, and you begin to feel hurt. Somehow you feel that your rights have been trampled on. Somehow you've been overlooked. Somebody has done you wrong, and you feel that you're justified in this bitterness that you feel in your heart. That's what the Bible calls bitterness. That's step number one, bitterness. And then what happens to this bitterness? Well, the next thing, the next word that Paul uses here is wrath, and that's step number two. The word wrath comes from a Greek word that means hot. Oh, well, you get all hot and bothered about it, and you get all hot on the inside about it. There's a slow burn that starts, and that bitterness turns to burning, and you just feel that start in there, and it smolders, and it smolders, And do you know that feeling? You guys ever had that before? That just feeling has just been sitting in there, and it just gets worse and worse, and it starts smoldering and so forth. That's an ugly feeling, isn't it? It really is. And that's bitterness. And I felt it. And with that bitterness comes that hotness, that burning, and that smoldering thing that happens. And then look at the third step here. The third word is anger. Now, wrath speaks of that which is on the inside, but anger speaks of that which is on the outside. And the Greek word for anger here means that which is open and outward. It is an outward hostility now. It has escalated from bitterness to wrath to anger, and it is an outward hostility now. Up to now, it's been inside. You've been holding it in. Now it's showing up on the outside. As the smoldering rags that are in that attic of the mind now burst into flames, and they've been bitter for quite a while, we may be doing a slow burn for quite a while, and then just the right catalyst comes along, and then it's anger. That's the third step. This is outward now. It's active. And then that's followed by number four, clamor. Now, the word clamor has the idea of being vocal or being loud. Now, it may come about in tears, but most often it is shouting. Have you ever noticed when people get angry and their voices rise and they get louder and louder, and then the clamor comes in? When I'm at work, used to have an admin assistant sitting outside my office, and now I sit in a cube and so forth, and everybody around me. But she said, "Keith, I could tell when you were getting intense because you were using your passionate voice." So the passionate voice would come. I'd start to get louder a little bit, and she could hear me, what was going on. And so, but then what follows when we lift our voices is that way, that clamor turns to evil speaking. And when we hear ourselves talking that way, and that open hostility breaks out, then we start to say things we never really meant. We begin to say and do and speak evil. And there's evil speaking, slander, and words like, you know, "I just hate you. I wish you'd never been born. You're a stupid child. You're the meanest person I ever knew." And we begin to say things that we know is not true. But we're on a roll, aren't we? Man, we're going now. Yeah, we're going to replay this conversation in our mind 100 times. "Man, I said this, and boy, I put them in their place. I just torched them." I mean, we're really doing good now. And that old devil, he's sitting over there in the side. "Now, you tell him this. You tell him this." And you know, you start to say those things, and you don't mean them, but you verbalize them, because that bitterness turned to a burning, and that burning turned to an anger, and that anger turned to a clamor, and that clamor turned to evil speaking. And then, that evil speaking does what? It turns to malice. And you know what malice is? That's when you want to hurt somebody. Physically hurt them. And if you can't hurt them with your fist, you hurt them with your words. If you can't hurt them with words, then you hurt them with money. If you can't hurt them with money, then you'll hurt them somehow. That's when a mother will slap a child. That's when a husband will abuse his wife. That's when somebody goes for a gun or a stick, or does some foolish, silly thing, and the old devil is just sitting over there grinning with a great big old grin on his face saying, "I got him. I got him." And you're the one who opened the door and said, "Come on in, devil. Wreck my home, wreck my life, and wreck my health, and destroy the whole thing." You're the one who did it. You gave a place to the devil because you let the sun go down upon your wrath, and that smoldering anger there begins to take its toll. It's terrible, isn't it? It's awful. It's hideous. It's all of those things. Now, I think there's not a one of us who hasn't been there at one time or another. And you say, "Brother Keith, that's exactly the way it is." Well, sure, that's the way it is. You don't need some psychologist to tell you. God's Word's already here to tell us exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to harm us. He wants to ruin us. He wants to wreck us. He wants to destroy us, and he wants most of all to destroy our testimony. So how do you conquer stubborn anger? Now, what I'm saying is this, that sudden anger is to be controlled till you have a chance to think it through. Sinful anger is to be condemned immediately, and stubborn anger is to be conquered. How are you going to go about trying to conquer this? Well, number one, you've got to recognize it. I mean, you've got to trace it back. You say, well, why am I such an angry person? And you've got to go back and find out where that root of bitterness is. Because I don't care how much you pick off the tops of those dandelions, those roots are still down there. And you're going to have to get down to the root of the matter and analyze what it is that's going on in your life. So first of all, you've got to recognize it, admit it, and confess it. And then secondly, you've got to repent of it. Now this verse says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now ask yourself, are you willing to put it away? Are you ready to take that pet's anger that you've had smoldering for so long and put it away and deal with it? If you're not willing to put it away, then just forget it. Because God's not going to do it for you. You can whine and you can cry and all of that until you put it away. Now, if you choose to put it away, God will help you. But you have to choose first to make that happen. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia, and it means a change of mind. It means I'm sick of it. I'm done with it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I choose against it. And nobody is going to choose against it but you. So now you must recognize it. You must repent. There's recognition, there's repentance, and then there's repudiation. You must repudiate the devil. I mean, you got to kick him out. You gave him a place, then you've got to say, Satan, I'm taking it back, and you can't have it anymore. You no longer are going to have a place in my life, in my home, and in my family. You go in the name of Jesus. I gave you a place, and I'm taking it back. And the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed that place. Out you go, Satan. Out. In the name of Jesus, depart. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll do what? He'll flee from you. James 4:7. So kick him out, and put him out in the name of Jesus, and then rely upon the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit of God is there. He's going to give you the power to do what? Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen, we need to learn how to deal with this thing, stubborn anger. Some of you have been angry for so long, your husband has hurt you at some time, a long time ago, and it's nursing a fever, it's feeding a grudge, you need to quit it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. All right, so what are we saying here? Let's go back to our text again. We are saying that, number one, sudden anger is to be controlled. We're saying, number two, that sinful anger is to be condemned. We're saying, number three, that stubborn anger is to be conquered. And then, number four, sanctified anger is to be channeled. Okay? Do you know that there's something that I want to call sanctified anger? Did you know that it's all right to be angry? Do you remember what our scripture says there that I just read to you in Ephesians 4:26? What does it say? Be angry. Well, when was the last time you obeyed that command? Right? All the time, right? But wait a minute. It goes on to say, be angry and sin not. So that means there is an anger that is not sinful anger at all. If all anger is sinful, then Jesus was a sinner, right? because Jesus was moved with anger. Look, if you will, in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about them with what? With anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Now, Jesus was moved with anger, the righteous kind of anger. So this means that you can be angry and sin not, for Jesus was without sin. What I'm trying to tell you is you can be good and mad. You can be good and mad. You can be angry and sin not. Jesus was moved with anger. As a matter of fact, if there are some things that don't move you to anger, then I think there's something wrong with you. Do you know what moved Jesus to anger? It was the attitude of those Pharisees about a poor paralyzed man. Here was a man that had a deep need. But here were other people who were filled with selfishness and pride and arrogance and self-seeking. What did they have against Jesus? It was not primarily because Jesus was teaching what he was teaching. No, their problem wasn't theological. It was personal. No, what Jesus was doing was stealing their thunder. And what I mean by that is that prior to Jesus coming along, all of the people were bragging on these Pharisees. I mean, they were the Jews of the Jews. They were the top notch. Oh, my goodness. They were just following them around. They were bragging on them. They were preening about them and all of these things. And they had the chief places and so forth. And now what was happening? The crowds were going after Jesus. And they were filled with rotten envy. That was their problem. They were filled with selfishness and pride and self-seeking, and they cared not for the people that were hurting. So what motivates a liquor dealer? What motivates the pornographer? What motivates a slumlord? What motivates a drug dealer? The exact same thing, pride, self-seeking. They don't care about other people. They don't care about how other people are being hurt by what they do. They don't care about how other people suffer from what they sell. They are just like these Pharisees in whose heart the milk of human kindness had already curdled. Now, I'll tell you what made Jesus angry. Jesus got angry when he saw other people being taken advantage of. Jesus got angry when he saw people insensitive in the face of human hurt. Listen, sometimes we get the idea that it is love that keeps us from being angry. And that can indeed be true. But sometimes it is love that makes us angry. I mean, when we see people that God loves, made in the image of God, being destroyed. Abraham Lincoln went down to the slave market in New Orleans. And there he saw a beautiful black girl being auctioned off as a slave. And it's probably to be a sex object. And Abraham looking, he stood there, he was tall and gaunt, and he felt a righteous indignation coming up in him. And he said to a friend, that is wrong. And one of these days, if I have a chance to hit it, I'm going to hit it and hit it hard. That's righteous anger. Martin Luther of the Protestant Reformation said, when I'm angry, I pray better, and I preach better. Then there was a little half-pint preacher named Cheney who weighed about 120 pounds. And he said, when I get mad, I weigh a ton. So what about the killing of little babies? Now, doesn't that make you mad? Abortion, I mean, there are certain things that stun you, right? If not, you're not worth the gunpowder it takes to get rid of you. Things ought to stir you. They ought to move you just the way they did Jesus. Jesus never got angry when somebody harmed him. You'll never find Jesus retaliating when somebody did things to him. He was not moved with anger when people tried to hurt him. Even when they nailed him to the cross, he didn't get angry. But Jesus was moved with anger, righteous indignation, when he saw other people being misused and abused. Now, righteous anger is aimed not primarily at the person, but at the injustice. It gets angry not primarily at the sinner, but at the sin. Well, you say, that's just fancy footwork. You can't be angry at the sin without being angry at the sinner. Okay, well, let me put it this way. You can love the sinner and still be angry with sin, can't you? Sure you can. Do you know how I know that? Because I get angry with me. I get angry with myself. But you know what? I love my wife's husband. And by the way, that's me, if you didn't catch that. I love me, right? Sure. Do you ever get angry at yourself? Of course you do. I'll say something like, well, why in the world did I do that? You know, that was dumb. That was stupid for you to say that, Keith. But yet you still love you. As a matter of fact, the reason that you love you is the same reason that you get angry with yourself. And it was love that motivated the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes anger is love's clearest expression. But we need to be careful. You see, righteous anger, godly anger, is not getting even with somebody. It's not trying to do somebody harm. It is a righteous indignation that does not sin. And real godly anger, I want you to pay attention to me, comes at the right time, is expressed in the right way, and it is against the right things. Righteous anger is to be channeled. I pray to God that we would not just have so much rhetoric about the things that are wrong in our world, but when we get angry about the injustices that we see, we need to do something about it. See, I'm not trying to stir you up to act ugly. I'm just trying to stir you up to act Christian. It's a beautiful way to act. You say, but Brother Keith, that's what we pay the pastors for. Yeah, they're the ones who should get out there on the firing line. Matter of fact, we'll stand behind them to the last drop of their blood. Listen, when you get a city where people are getting righteously indignant, that's worth more than all of the laws on the books. And did you know that? When we get stirred up about what is happening, when we get angry at the right time, for the right reason, against the right thing, in the right way, and we see that in the way that the parents are rising up against the school boards that are bringing filth in to teach our children. That's a righteous indignation. Now, some of them are going about it the wrong way, but that's a righteous indignation. So we have said that sudden anger is to be controlled. Sinful anger is to be condemned. Stubborn anger is to be conquered. And sanctified anger is to be channeled. And that God is going to help us when we let the love of God stir us up. And we'll take the stand for those who are being harmed and those who are being hurt. So let's go back to our focus verse, and then I'll be finished for the day. Proverbs 19, verse 12. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. You know, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, if you don't know that if you died right now that you'd go to heaven, then I want you to look at what this verse says. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. Now, who's the King of Kings? Jesus, right? He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And one day, you're going to stand before him to be judged. For every man, there is a day to be born, a day to die, and a day to be judged. You can face the Lord's wrath if you want to, or you can have his favor if you would rather have that. Do you want the king's favor like the dew on the morning grass, sweet, gentle, loving, faithful, multiplying, and life-giving? Well, you can have that. Do you want to be saved today? Do you want to not face the wrath of God, the king's wrath? Well, you can be saved by receiving Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Now listen to me, you're not going to be able to conquer anger or anything else until you have Christ on the inside of you. It's not victory over the devil that you need. It's the victor of the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ is what you need. And having Christ on the inside is what you need. And you know, whatever you are filled with is what spills out when you get jostled. Isn't that right? Do you want to know what you're filled with? Just see what spills out when somebody cuts you off on the highway. Oh, what happens when you get jostled in a crowd? If you're filled with Jesus and somebody jostles you or cuts you off on the highway, then Jesus is going to spill out. That's all there is to it, friend. Now, you need to be saved. You got to be born again, born from above. To be saved means that every sin is forgiven. To be saved means that Jesus Christ now lives in your heart. And to be saved means that when you die, you'll go to heaven. So the question is, are you saved? Amen? Amen. Amen.